I'm going to introduce Chris Finlay, who's going to be preaching for us this morning. Chris was formerly pastor at Upper Hutt Baptist. He is now our regional leader for the Baptist Union here in the Wellington region. Chris, I'm just going to pray for you before you get going.
I'm going to get sorted first.
You go for it. Father God, we just want to thank you for Chris and for his heart to come here and share with us, Lord. Thank you for his role and how he serves us in the region, Lord, and how you've called him to that, Father. I pray you bless him this morning. May your words speak to our hearts. May we be challenged, Lord, and open our hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks for the welcome. It's really nice to be here. I bring the greetings of all the churches, I guess, of the Wellington region, and we want to congratulate you. I was thinking of a song that they were singing yesterday at the Young Adults Conference. It's got the line, "Hallelujah, Jesus hollers right back." Is that how it goes? Shout hallelujah, Jesus hollers back. And I'm thinking, I think Jesus is really pleased with what you have done. And I think he's excited and hollering back. Back in 2005 was the last time I preached at what was then the Lower Hutt Baptist Church. Mike Dodge and I had come to do a consultancy. And we stated the obvious. You needed to do something about your buildings. Where you were was too small. We also said, your church feels like it's becalmed. And we added, you need to allow your leaders to lead. And I wanted to say, it's just so good to be here today. You are certainly not becalmed. And you're allowing your leaders to lead. And God is moving in your midst. And it's exciting to be here. And the other churches are looking at you and saying, what's happening at Hutt City? Even the Baptist Union says, we want to have lead conference here in your facilities. Even though it was too small this year, they still want to come back next year. Maybe that's because the theatres will be operating, I'm not sure. But it is interesting, isn't it, being a church sharing a movie complex. Not everybody likes it. Is this a church or is this a movie complex? Some people have complained about the church being in the same building, and they're saying, why doesn't the church get out of the building? You know, let the movies just have it. And then, of course, there'll be people in the church saying, well, we shouldn't be doing this. Baptists have actually had a difficult relationship with movies from way back. I mean, not so much now, I don't think. But my father was a pastor, and back in before the war, he was having to rebuke a Sunday school teacher who was taking her Bible class, those young people, to the pictures. Not only that, she also was sharing a novel with somebody. Now, come forward 1955 in the manse at Palmerston North, we had a conference, and it was a bit of a crisis conference because a dear lady from the church, who I bless, she had come to my parents and said, can I take your children out to the movies? And my father just was not sure that this was a good thing, because even then, movies were still in the sort of the gray space of the not properly kosher thing that Christians should do. But my father had seen a lot of movies overseas in the war, and he realized that some were good and some were bad. But I'd never seen a movie. I had no idea what it was. I just knew I wanted to go. And so anyway, we had this crisis conference. And in the end, the lady's kindness and our badgering of Dad, he gave in. And we went to a movie. Later on, I read a comment on this movie. It said, look, forget any tales of star-crossed lovers. This story is responsible for more cinematic tears than any other film. Countless childhoods have been scarred by the off-screen... Well, I won't say what the rest of it is. I went home that night and I cried. My mother had to come and comfort me, and she had to actually kind of retell the story. The film was Bambi. Bambi's mother had died off-screen. And it's the story of this broken little deer and him finding himself and his girlfriend as well. She came back too later in the movie. Actually, I watched it a couple of weeks ago. It's available for free on YouTube now. It's It's only about 1 hour, 5 minutes. And there's a whole lot of adult humour in it that I'm sure I missed in those days. But movies have become the storytellers of our time in some ways. Not the only ones, but really important storytellers. You know, there's a film on right now about the fallen angel. It's not about Satan. But there's two films about lions. Movies are where we go when we want stories. And it's really wonderful because we go to those movies in a really, really comfortable environment. And we have lots of food. And I think in some ways we have to keep on reminding ourselves that the medium is the message. You know, that environment in which we go and watch. Last year, I think it was, I went to see Dunkirk. I brought myself a coffee. I think I had something to eat. And I'm sitting there watching these guys being killed on the beaches of Dunkirk. We kind of make an entertainment out of others' sorrow. Or we do get excited by wonderful heroes, you know, who overcome. Movies are great. But actually, they don't change us. We go to be engaged, we go to be entertained, but we don't really go to be changed. I mean, when you're a kid, you do. You go home and you play at being the hero. Well, it used to anyway. I don't know. Now they probably just go and play on the screen. But, you know, I've been in different terms. I've been Daniel Boone. I've been David Crockett. I've been Joan of Arc. No, I didn't try that one. My sister tried that. But, you know, but movies don't really change us, not really. Sometimes they can influence us for good or for bad. But what's the difference when we come here into church? The movies are telling stories, but we've got a big story to tell as well. We've got a story that's told to us, and we come to hear that story afresh every Sunday, don't we? We've got a pretty amazing story. But we don't come to church, you know, our seats aren't quite as good. The coffee, I haven't even been offered any. There's no popcorn. We're not actually here for the comfort, are we? Because we are wanting to hear the story that transforms lives, transforms our lives, and can transform other lives. We want to be reminded that this is a living story, that it's still alive today in us and in our friends here as well. In the movies, and sometimes in church, we can be like the people that came to listen to Ezekiel, where it's written, you know, Ezekiel, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but do not put them into practice. There are people who did that with Jesus' stories. There are people that do that with Rob's stories. But actually, we don't come together to just ignore what's happening. We do come together with a view to putting into practice what we hear. So church is very different from the movie theatres. Not comfort, not entertainment. We are certainly wanting to be engaged, but we're also wanting to be changed. Now, stories. Jesus told lots of stories. I want to read a little bit from Mark in chapter 4, but in the Message version, so most of you won't have that. But this is where he says, how can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it's quite small as seeds go. Yet once it is planted, it grows into a huge pine tree with great branches. Eagles nest in it. And with many stories like these, he presented his message to them, fitting the stories to their experience and maturity. He was never without a story when he spoke. When he was alone with his disciples, he went over everything, sorting out the tangles, untying the knots. So the Bible is a book full of stories that have stood the test of time. That down through the ages, people have read these stories, these accounts, and they've been encouraged and strengthened by them. everything that happened to them in the past, the Bible says, was written down to teach us and to encourage us, for we live in a time when the end is about to come. All those things are written down here for us. And these stories, the many stories, all wind together in the one great story of God's love, God's reaching out to us, God's anger and grief at the brokenness and the fallenness of humanity, and yet his actions in redemption to bring about a whole new story on earth, a story of redeemed people, redeeming others. So we have these great stories, we come together. Now, these stories are incredibly powerful. Apostle Paul, speaking of the weapons of our warfare, says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And he's talking about the stories as part of that. The Bible story, the preaching of it, the proclaiming it, the telling of it, telling the story that's happened through us. That's powerful. It pulls down strongholds. When the prophet Jeremiah had the story come to him, he said, "Your word is like a fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in. I can't. It has to get out." This powerful story. You know, one Sunday, one of our guys in our church brought along his mate from work, who was an engineer. And this engineer, it had some Christian background, he came and sat through the service, and he came to me afterwards and said, I really don't understand this Christian life. Can you explain it to me?" So I did my very best. Now, preachers after church on Sunday morning are starting to get hungry. At least I am. I don't know if you do, Rob. But anyway, I seem to remember just about everybody else had gone, and I was still trying to convince this person of the truth of the gospel, and I failed. And I got a little, I think I got a little bit frustrated. I don't know whether it was myself or with him for being so thick, or I didn't know what it was. I said to him in the end, "Lindsay, look, I don't know what to say to you, but maybe why don't you go home and read the Gospel of John? You know where that is?" He knew where that was, so he said, "No, okay." And he left. I didn't even offer him lunch. Great evangelist, eh? He went home. Then he came back to me later that day. He had actually done it. He'd read John. And he said, "You know, Chris, I don't know why you tell me to read that book. I've always thought it was the most confusing book of all in the Bible," because he had read the Bible. So I didn't. But he said, "You know, when I read it, it just came alive to me. Will you baptize me?" It's a powerful book. It's a powerful story that we've come together to hear as we come together Sunday by Sunday. But the power of this story is that it's a story that lives in us. It's not just, you know, listen to it and then go out and do something else. It's pushing us to Jesus, and it's pushing us to the cross. And at the cross, we're pushed into our own fallenness. You know, the people we've hurt, the wrongs we've done, the thoughts we've chewed over that were just not of God. It pushes us to a place where we bow before the cross and say, "Lord, I thank you that you died for me." But then beyond that, it pushes us to the risen Jesus. And suddenly we discover this is not a story of, you know, once upon a time. This is a Jesus here and now presence, that he's here with us now in this place, right there with you now, with us all. This is an amazing story. It's incredibly powerful. And so his story becomes wound into our story. And then we discover, we read about the cross, but then we read also that we take up the cross and follow him. Luke 9:23. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me." And not only that, when we read about the wonderful things that Jesus did, then we read that he says, "The works I do, you shall do. And even greater than these will you do, for I'm going to the Father." And so again and again, we're encouraged to find that Jesus' story becomes our story because, of course, Jesus lives in us who believe. For the ones who believe, out of their belly flows rivers of living water. Sorry, I've been forgetting you guys. I haven't really, but I'm just not used to preaching. in this environment. I'll come back. The great story of Jesus has lived in us because Jesus lives in us. Now, this story is a story that we have to tell. We have to tell it ourselves. Do you remember the apostles? When they were, and I haven't forgotten you, when they were brought before the Sanhedrin, called to account because they've been preaching about Jesus. And they said, look, we can't but speak of what we have seen and heard. They'll try to shut them up. They couldn't shut them up because they had to speak it. When Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit on you, what was it for? You can tell me. What was it for? Why did he pour out the Holy Spirit on us? What was the first thing he said that the Spirit was going to do in us? Anyone? The Paraparamu, they would have had 10 answers by now, but then it's a little wee church. Big churches are hard, eh? You shall... Oh, you're a wonderful woman. Have you got a husband? Yeah, thank you. And you shall be my... I'll pour out... You will receive the Holy Spirit, and you shall be my witnesses. The witness is the person who says what they have seen and heard. Your story. You are the witness of what the story that Jesus has worked into your life. You have that responsibility. Now, just imagine. I know it doesn't happen like this, but imagine when you come out of church, you come into a whole lot of people coming into the theater, the movie theater. Will the lightness of Jesus be in your step? Will the joy of the Lord sort of be shining from you? Will that lonely person out there find somebody with compassion, the compassion of Jesus will stop and just talk to them? Will there be a hungry person who will be shouted a coffee and some food? Yes, there will, because Jesus is in you, and he really cares about that crowd. And it's incredibly powerful when you share your story of Jesus with others. I gave you a page of the New Testament. I sacrificed a whole New Testament for this. I've still got one on electronic form, but... If you could grab your page, and I'll tell you a story. And then one Sunday night we came, we used to have a evening youth service. Reminds me that when we came here and consulted with Lower Hutt, we had kind of focus groups and we got people talking about the services and the life of the church and that sort of thing. And we went to group after group and nobody mentioned the fact that you had a thriving youth ministry going in an evening youth service. When we talked about the services, they only talked about Sunday morning. They didn't even, because of course none of those older people who were consulting with us told us, they didn't know about it. But there's this incredible life going on in the church that most people weren't hardly aware of. And that's the way it is in churches often. Often the greatest work that God is doing is not visible to others, but it's there. But anyway, this Sunday night, one of the boys in our youth group brought along a friend that he'd made at school. The friend had just become a Christian. And it happened like this. He was not a believer. He didn't have any background in Christian things. But some people called Gideons came along. Some of you will know them. They're an organization that likes to put Bibles in places. They used to distribute them to every school. I don't know if they can do that now, but... In those days, they could. They'd go out and distribute Bibles. This boy somehow missed out. He didn't get one, and he wished it was just a New Testament. He missed out. And he was fortunate, though, because one boy that got his New Testament didn't want it. and he just ripped it up. And he scattered the pages all over the footpath on the, around the gate of the school. So this boy that I met, he picked up a page of the New Testament, just one page. It was from the book of Ephesians. And he just, you know, put it in his pocket and he took it home and he read it. And he was so transformed by reading that page that he became a Christian there and then. Gave his life to Jesus Christ and came along to church and shared a story with us. It's always reminded me of how powerful this is. That's why I thought I'll give you a page of the New Testament as well. Read it through and find a word. Find something in there that you could share with somebody else today. Just to say, look, this is my homework from church this morning. I read this. Take off his outer clothes. No, that might not be the right word, but there may be something on your page that actually is just the right word for somebody that you're going to meet today. But more importantly, I gave that to you as a kind of a symbol of the fact that you are a page of the great story of Jesus Christ. And your page is the crucial page for some people that you're going to meet. You are the one that Jesus needs to use and wants to use to touch the hearts and lives of others. You may be the only one they see. You know that story that we are the Bible that most people see. Can I just pray? Our Father in heaven, as we, again, as we're celebrating this amazing moment, kind of a recognition, Lord, of a great journey undertaken and mostly completed, which has allowed a new and fresh tool to be used for the kingdom of God in Lower Hutt. Lord, we thank you for Hutt City. Thank you for all that you're doing here. And we thank you for this group of your people in whom your story lives. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you may help each one of us now to truly be those who proclaim your story to those that we meet. Lord, that this church will continue to grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, a final story from that consultancy. At that point, we were looking at the growth of the church and realizing in just a few years, it would have grown to over 600 if it sustained its present rate at that time in 2005. I don't think it did that because it took a while before it got unstuck. But God is giving you growth now. It's precious. But make sure it's growth of people who are not just coming out of curiosity, but are coming out of a desire to hear the story because they have heard your story. Amen.